It's a Getaway Friday morning, Friday, October the 20th, full out into autumn here, 2023, 17 minutes past the hour, joined in studio by Pastor Steve Whitaker. Glad to have him back in studio for Over the Back Fence here every Friday morning, live 9:15 to 10 a.m. on WGH Talk. Also can be heard during the repeats, in repeats on Sunday morning, 8:15 to 9 a.m. and Wednesday afternoon, 3:15 to 4 p.m. Thursday afternoon, the same time. If you can't catch it when it's on, go to the website, WWGH1071.com. Program archives, it's show number one under there. Pastor Whitaker, so good to have you back in the studio here today for another round.
Yes, isn't it great to be here today? And I've missed not being on the last couple times. It doesn't come across as well when you're over the phone either.
No, it doesn't.
Anyway, it's great to be here. I am Pastor Steve Whitaker from Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio. We've got a lot of neat things going on at the church. Team Kids for Christ is in full swing on every other Tuesday. Excuse me. And also, Pizza with Pastor has been great. We got a bunch of kids this year, a bunch of younger ones, too, that have come in the sixth grade range. And boy, just keeping them toned down a little can be a chore, but no, they've been having a great time. A lot of neat things going on at the church. I also want to put a plug in here for Jeff's Bicycle Shop in Prospect. They do some wonderful work with helping people with bikes and putting everything from a low-end to a high-end bike together. And they really have a great line of electronic bikes, so you guys might want to check that out. It's good to be here today. I've got something I want to read this morning. Can I read something this morning?
Go right ahead.
Real quick. This is actually in Scripture. It's in Luke, chapter 17, which will kind of kick off a conversation here that I hope to get going over the back fence this morning. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria in Galilee. And as he entered a certain village, there met 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. And they lifted their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Now, first of all, understand what lepers were. They had leprosy, and it was a very, very contagious, bad skin disease that if you got leprosy, you were basically banned from the village or where you lived. And he said, so when he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And so it was, they went and were cleansed. Now, if you had leprosy, the only way, according to the law, was that you could be allowed back in the city was you had to be healed, and then you had to go see a priest, and the priest had to say, "Yes, you're healed, you're clean." So Jesus had immediately told them, just go show yourselves to the priest. And when it did, they were cleansed completely. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned with a loud voice glorifying God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Now it mentions that for a purpose here, because the Jews at the time looked at the Samaritans as really not quite up to par. See, there was some prejudice going on back then too. It's always been here. And Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise, go your way, your faith has made you well." And in that passage, it talks about how 10 people were cleansed, but only one came back and gave thanks. And the importance that it is to have gratitude when you know, we pray for things to happen and they happen. A lot of times we just pick up and go on once we get answers. When someone does something for you, it's very important to have gratitude for what they do. Now, you should never do things seeking gratitude, because that's the wrong motive in which to do things. We should do things out of the love and kindness from our heart. But I think it's important on the receiving end that we do have gratitude.
Oh, I think you always have to have gratitude in what you do. It's a funny thing, because I always think to myself, do people do things for the thank you, or do they do it because they really want to do it?
Both.
I think it does go both ways, because some people do things anonymously. You know, I had that happen this past summer. Somebody came and mulched my lawn, landscaped it, and took a flower pot, and it came back with flowers in it. Looked beautiful, and to this day, I have no idea who did it.
Isn't that neat?
Yeah.
Kind of neat when that happens. That happens with me sometimes, and it's just, this happens to be Pastor Appreciation Month. We got about a week left or a week or so left, where different people do different things for the pastor and show gratitude in whatever way they do. Some do, some don't. And that's okay. But it's a good feeling when someone thanks you and gives you words of encouragement, those kind of things. But I think that we need to be a more gracious people. We need to be a people that understand when someone helps you do something. One thing that's almost true across the board is that unless they're a parent or a guardian or a spouse, they don't have to. Think about that. When someone does something for you, they didn't have to do it. So why did they? Well, maybe they did do it because they wanted there was a motive behind it. But don't look at it that way. I think in most cases, when we do things, kind things for people, I think we do them because we desire to. Just like Jesus in this case, he didn't have to heal any of those guys. You know, he could have said, oh boy, lepers to the gate. I mean, I'm not getting near them. The whole point is, he did. And I wish that we would see more stories of kindness and gratitude, more good come out of things. Even in our current issues that are on the ballot this time, all of the campaigning is negative. I haven't seen the positive side of, if you vote this way, look what can happen. And wouldn't you love to see some of that?
It would be nice, but you know, every time this happens, it's interesting because I don't think anybody is going to deny that we love a good, positive story. Very few people just dwell constantly on the negative. But the problem is when you use fear and you use negative things, you can convince people a lot quicker than with a nice story. Doesn't make it right, but you can convince them to your side a lot quicker.
Oh, fear works.
Yeah.
Fear and intimidation work unbelievably. They just really do. You know, when a coach is giving a whipping up a team, so to speak, for a game, getting them ready and pumped up, he's not saying, guys, I want you out there. I want to see the most graceful catches in the world. I want to see the most acrobatic running in the world. No, he's saying, I want you to rip their head off. I want you to knock their head off.
Yeah, that's such an interesting thing because we always use this idea of good versus bad with the media, but we use it, I mean, sports is a great example of it. You know, if Ohio State is losing at halftime, do you think the coach, Ryan Day, is going back there and going, guys, I love you, I know you can do better, you're going to go out there and you're going to do great because I love you. That's not what's happening.
No, no, no. No, there's some vein popping in the neck going on.
And teachers at schools who are coaches, who are perfectly great in the classroom, who are very nice men and women, they're not doing that. You know, speed it up. Speed it up. Come on. You know, because fear and it is more negativity. They're doing it for a positive outcome, but it works.
I've got one of our coaches is a teacher in a classroom, and I've sat in his classroom, and he's an excellent teacher, very, very even keeled, just really good, knows how to get things across to the students well, and he's a completely different person on the ball field. It's that you have to instill that somehow, but somehow we got off on the. Oh yeah, we were talking about saying how we go from gratitude to this. Yeah, it was because we were talking about wishing that some of the programming was a little more soft and kind. But gratitude. Where are the stories of deep gratitude? Where's the gratitude? You know, we talked about many, and I've brought up here many times on the show about all of the unbelievable outreaches that the church does around the world. And people say, well, I remember one time I was on a show with Terry, and Terry said, you know, why don't we hear this? Well, first of all, the church isn't out there to tweak its own horn, but you know what I think the second reason is? Because the people receiving it are not pronouncing any gratitude. Think about that. If the people on the receiving end were broadcasting or talking the gratitude, people would know it. So it's a two-way street.
See, and that's where it should come from, because here's the problem in general, I think, about if we're talking about letting people know in a bigger sense that things are happening. The problem is it, and I think a lot about the fairs. We just, you know, the fairs all wrapped up here recently across Ohio, right. the summer fairs. Well, a lot of those fairs deal with livestock. And at the end, there's the big livestock auction.
Right.
And it's great what the kids are able to do, and it's great the money that they get, and it's great for what it goes to, and it's great that they learn things. But if you look at the people who are purchasing those animals, a lot of them are politicians running for office that year. A lot of them are people who are in the community who have businesses. And that's why they're doing it. I'm not saying they're not going to eat the meat, but they want their name there, that they did this great deed. And I know that's why they do it. And I think a lot of times that's why the media or people in general don't spend a whole lot of time talking about it. Now, if the person whose animal they bought wrote a thank you letter to a media outlet, I bet the media outlet would run that. But when the person goes themselves and says, look what I bought, well, that seems a little clap on the back.
Yeah, yeah. I think that, imagine that's one of the reasons that everyone gets a picture, they hang them in their businesses.
Oh, they're on the walls.
They're on the walls. But you know, I think it's wonderful they do support the kids. Now, on the flip side of that, there was a lady at our fair this year that went to two nights we were at Delaware, and went to two nights of the sale. It's on a Tuesday and Wednesday. And she is not a politician. She's not in business. She doesn't do any of that. She has always wanted to be able to buy things at the auction, but she's never been financially in a place to do it. Well, recently, she found herself in a very good financial situation, and she spent a fortune those two nights buying kids animals, and it wasn't going to benefit her in any way.
And that's a great thing.
And that is a great thing. But yeah, I think that, you know, we always say, well, you know, maybe when people do things for people, they should show gratitude. When was the last time that one thing I don't like about all the America bashing around the world is that America is always 100% of the time the first one there in a disaster every time. If there's a country having a disaster, we're there. Either we're there officially as representatives of America, or we're there unofficially as different church organizations, but we're there. I know the Samaritan's Purse is always into those places. But when do you ever hear those countries thanking the U.S. for being there and everything that they do? No, they just ask for more, or you hear complaints that it didn't come quick enough, or it wasn't enough, or you don't hear anything at all. And I had to laugh when a couple years ago there was a after the situation in New Orleans when the levee broke. There was a year later, there was a entertainer that had built like 15 houses there and given to people. And the news just had it everywhere. That was a speck in a bucket, or a drop in a bucket, compared to what other groups and organizations had done. But there was no name there, so there was no reason to pop that up. And I just wish that people would see, I think if people would see the positive things that people do in this country on a regular basis to help other people with no alternative motive, I think it would encourage people and they would have a little bit more faith in their fellow man.
But do you ever notice how human beings, and I'm not saying you and I or maybe even the listening audience here, but are some human beings, and I would even sadly say the majority, are programmed this way. If I do 50 nice things for you, you know, let's say your car needs a jump, you call me, I'm the first one there. You need help with this project, I'm there. You need help getting this done. The little things in life that you need just day to day to day. And I'm there, and I'm there, and I'm there, and this goes on for years and years and years. And then one time you perceive something that I do as not nice, it erases all of that. And also, how can you think that I am just doing this to be malicious? all that, I was like a phony for years.
Because one of our deep character flaws as people is lacking of gratitude. If you had truly had gratitude, if that person truly had gratitude for all those things you had done, they would look at that one thing and think, well, okay, look at all these other things they've done for me. It's kind of funny. And it's not just people. I can have a car and drive it 100,000 miles and it never let me down. But the first time it leaves me stranded on the road, I kick the tires and say, this piece of junk, I'm right. Getting rid of it.
Yes, and that's a good parallel.
And you know, that's just how we think. It's like we forget all the good and immediately go to the bad. It tells me, in a sense, maybe this isn't, I don't think it's much of a stretch here. It tells me the power of evil.
Well, this comes back to something I always say. I'm tired of society waiting for a retirement party or a death to say how they feel about somebody. That to me is total ingratitude, because tell them now. What is wrong with telling somebody now? Hey, you play a big role in my life. I appreciate that you're here. You did such and such and such and such and such. Even if you don't like the person anymore, for whatever reason, why can't you send them a letter, send them a message? Heaven knows we can contact people nowadays and say, listen, you know, maybe we don't talk anymore, but you did a lot. You made a big difference in my life. People don't do that because you're only remembered by the last moment or the last thing you did. And if the last thing you did was die, well, now it's time to send you praises. I don't want to wait that long.
There's a man that he periodically came to our church because he was dating someone. And they don't date so much anymore. They're still friends. So I see him about maybe once every 6 months. But it's really funny. This man has never given me special gifts. This man has never, you know, given me money. So I'm not thinking in those lines at all. But about every couple months, I get a card from this guy telling me how much he appreciates me and appreciates what I... And you know, I'll tell you something. That means a lot. It really does mean a lot. Just that simple card. I mean, that ink and that paper is not doing me any monetary good or physical good, but just to know that somebody appreciates what you do. And if we realize that, why can't we be that way? You know, when mom's home at night, you know, and I say mom because I believe moms do more of this than dads do these days, is, you know, she may work all day, and she gets home, and she's immediately trying to put dinner together, trying to find something. She's you know, working. It may be 90 degrees out, and she's got steam coming off the stove and, you know, all that kind of stuff. How about coming in and saying, you know, Mom, I appreciate what you do. Her husband saying, you know what, I know you've had a hard day too. Let me take over the stove for a minute. Go sit down. You know, why aren't we doing more of that? I think we, unfortunately, we've become such a self-centered people. But we're being taught that. We're being taught that from the get-go. If you look at advertisement, for instance, it's all about look at me, what I look like, how I'm portrayed, what I can do, getting all that I can. You know what I mean? Portraying ourselves as something we're not. I have to laugh when you know, you go into a beauty salon, and I've sat in there waiting on my wife before, and they got these magazines, and you flip through, and there's this beautiful model with this haircut, and you know, okay, here's the one I want to look like her. No, it's not going to happen. Well, you might get the haircut, but it ain't going to happen.
I'll tell you, this is a funny story, because last Friday morning, it was Friday the 13th, and I was having a casual conversation with Sean and Matt on the air about phobias. You know, because Friday the 13th, a lot of people have a phobia of Friday the 13th. And, you know, Sean said he was afraid of spiders, and Matt said he was afraid of needles. And, you know, those are common fears. And I said, you know what's interesting to me? I was thinking psychologically, because it was Friday the 13th. I said, you know, women, between the ages of 30 and 50, I think have a tremendous fear of growing older. Because I see a lot of them, just what you said, dyeing the hair, fake tans, going to the gym during those ages more often, the makeup, the clothes they wear, because they're not kids anymore, but they also don't feel like they're parents. They don't feel like they're senior citizens, and they're not. Okay, so I said this, and I followed it up by saying, I saw a picture recently of somebody in that age group who I had not seen in a little while, and I used what I thought was the nicest word possible to get my point across. I said, they looked a little, what did I say? Because I'm going to use the bad word that I didn't use, fluffy. They looked a little more fluffy than the last time I'd remembered them. Now, I think people understand what I'm saying, but I did not use anybody's name. And my point just was that, you know, you're not a kid anymore. People change. It's not all about your looks. So, is that the word? But boy, I heard from some people.
Thought it was that.
Oh, man, puffy is the... I said puffy, that's what I said. Puffy is, you don't call somebody puffy. And I said,
did they think you've been overweight?
I think.
Yeah.
I think. And I that was probably what I was alluding to, but it certainly was not like a big change.
Whatever happened to beauty's only skin deep?
Well, I mean, is it awful to say that? If you're not, listen, I would not go up to somebody's face.
You're a little puffy today.
Yeah, you're a little puffy today. No, I wouldn't do that. And I didn't name anybody, but just to illustrate the point, that time catches up with everybody, you know?
Oh,
that's
it does. Oh, it does. And you know, we get to the age where I see guys that are so worried about their hair.
Oh.
And you know, I'll be honest with you. My mom always said, you'll never go bald. I have the thickest hair in the world. Well, obviously, I'm losing hair rapidly. And in the summertime, I just cut it off. And she said, why would you do that? I said, because I really don't care, and it feels good. And it's, you know... Who am I trying to impress at this point? If people can't see past my looks and evaluate my character, then where am I anyway?
Well, and why is it so horrible? I'm not saying that you're an ugly person. I'm not saying that's if that's what you're looking for. I'm just saying you don't look like what I remember. Now, I don't think that's a knock. I probably don't look like what you remember. Here we are.
I'll tell you a funny story. I went in a hospital room one time to see a lady, and she wasn't expecting me at that particular moment. And I had never seen her when she went without makeup and without her hair. And she wore a wig, and normally, and I didn't know that. And she must have spent hours in makeup. But I walk in this woman's room, and excuse me, I have the wrong room. I mean, she looked 40 years older. I mean, 40 years older.
Yeah.
I was like, and then I realized, I thought, wow, you know, why would we do that? Why would we make it such an effort to? I think that we try to, look, if I'm comfortable with who I am on the inside, really comfortable with that, I'm probably going to try to do less on the outside to try and make myself look good. You know what I mean? It's kind of like putting the, fixing up your car and making it. When we were kids, you know, when 16, 17, you know, we'd put mag wheels on our cars and do all these things and really make them look like a hot rod, but they weren't. They may have a 6-cylinder engine with a blown cylinder, but it still looked great. And I see so many people doing that today with themselves, and it's trying to project visually what they are, what they want you to think they are. Does that make sense?
Well, and the funny thing is, if I critique your physical appearance, that's the worst thing I can do. Now, I might love that person. I might think they are a great person. That doesn't matter. I critique their physical appearance. I'm really treading on thin ice. That's really what you want me to like about you? That's the best that's the worst thing I can say about you, is that you're puffy? But I can say you have a great attitude. You have a great perspective on life. You help people. You're productive.
You know, Scott, if somebody doesn't take care of themselves, in other words, they don't bathe, they don't clean up, they're grossly obese.
Health issues.
Health issues. Yeah. You know, if they just don't care, that kind of does show there's a character problem. But if someone is taking care of themselves and is clean and healthy, and so what if they're not? My grandmother was one of the... We were just talking about this yesterday with my daughters. Maybe the day... It was the day before we were talking at lunch. My grandmother was, I never in my life ever one time heard her say a negative word about anyone. She was one of the sweetest souls ever put on this earth. Just a real rarity. And she was one of the most unattractive, homely women I've ever seen in my life. And we all agree to that. We just chuckle at that. But everyone loved her. And no one even paid attention to the fact that she wasn't beautiful because she had such a sweet demeanor that it really overtook. You didn't notice that she was not an attractive lady.
Well, and you know what? I think this does come back to gratitude in a way because, see, I think one of the problems of why we wait till the retirement party and the death to say something to people, I think a lot of people think people know how we feel about them. They think, oh, they know. They know.
No, they don't know.
They don't know.
They don't know.
How would you know?
How would you know unless somebody gives you a hint of how they feel? Yeah.
The best you might get is, we're friends.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. I mean, how do you know, how do they know how you really feel about them?
It's kind of funny, people, and have you ever seen this on social media? Because I see it a lot. And some people, it just goes completely overboard. If you're really my friend, you will tell me where we met.
Oh, yeah, I have seen that.
If you're really my friend, or they'll post a picture of themselves. This is the other one I don't understand. When they post pictures of themselves and they go through those apps that morph how they really look.
Oh, yeah, the filters and all that.
The filters and all that. Well, what are you doing? You know, look, I'm going to see you tomorrow, and you're not going to look like that. You know, especially if they're on a dating app. I was talking to a guy one time. He met a lady at a neutral place on one of these dating apps, and he just about screamed when he saw her. Her profile picture was about 20 years younger and quite a bit different, and he saw her. He said, oh, my word, could you have been a little honest? You know, maybe I wouldn't have shown up.
Yeah. Well, how many times do we make mistakes in those realms when it comes to friends or relationships, for that matter, in which we choose what is new rather than what is consistent?
Ah, good point.
And consistency is very important.
My stepfather, my mom was a widow for 15 years, and then she remarried to a widower. And he's not the first guy that's going to get picked for the baseball team. Let's put it that way. And he wasn't the most handsome guy in the world, and he wasn't the most fire. Personality was really bad, but he told my mom, he said, I don't have any money. He said, I don't have this, I don't have that. But he said, one thing I can promise you I'll always be is consistent. And that was good enough for her.
Consistency's big.
She wanted consistency. She, no surprises.
You know what? If you are around somebody for more than, it takes a while. I'm going to say 2 years. If you're around somebody for 2 years and they are consistently a nice person, they are consistently, you know, you're not arguing with that person all the time.
They make me comfortable.
Yeah, that's it. They are, eventually they are, it's going to become, I don't want to use the term mundane, but that's kind of what it is, because they're not going to surprise you anymore because you see them all the time. And what's the surprise?
And on the other side of that, if you have a person that every time you see them, they have something critical to say about something you've done or how you look or how you could have done this better or that better, or they don't like this or they don't like that, you know, you're afraid for them to even come in the door. You know, you're uneasy about them. And then they get mad because they say something, and maybe that time they didn't mean it that way, but you're already on edge and you jump back at them. Oh, I was just talking, but you're so used to them being critical that you assume that everything coming out of their mouth is critical.
Well, how many times have we seen somebody get mad at somebody, and then they'll leave, and then the person will say, they'll be upset because the person got mad at them, but the person will apologize, and they'll go, okay, well, that was an isolated incident. If it was an isolated incident, it wouldn't have happened. I don't believe those are all isolated. I think you better start paying attention. Because do you ever notice when you first meet somebody, even if it's just a friend, you're not arguing with them. In the beginning, that's not going on at all. You might have completely different opinions on things. Mm-hmm. An argument never develops. But if you've had a friend for 10 years, they'll argue with you. Doesn't mean you have to leave on bad terms.
Right, and you don't leave on bad terms. You can be really heated about what your opinion is and what you believe, but you're not going to just storm off and get in a big fight with them.
But even that will happen sometimes.
Sometimes.
But you just know that that's that person. That's a character trait of theirs. You can't change it. Now, if you're comfortable with it, go on with it. But if you're not, I mean, better do something.
You know, all the stuff we're talking about, it comes back to the condition of our heart. If you think about it, you know, we've talked about what are your motives. We've talked about do you really appreciate? Do you forgive? Do you want to put others before yourself? You know, it sounds like a lot of stuff that comes out of the Bible to me.
Well, and it absolutely, and I think that's where it all starts, and certainly with motive. You know, we didn't spend a whole lot of time on motive, but, you know, if you look at, I was talking about the landscaping of the yard and the plant, and I don't know who did it, so I know that was completely an anonymous kind act, but if somebody you know is doing something for you, and they're letting you know that they're doing it for you, you really do have to look at the benefit. If somebody gets you a gift, and a lot of, they want you to like them. A lot of times is the case. So, yeah, they are doing it for somewhat of a self-motive. And that's where I have the problem. Now, if your neighbor bakes you cookies and doesn't know you when they move into the neighborhood, yeah, you know your neighbor baked you cookies because she brought them over.
Yeah.
But she's not doing that, so you'll love her. She was doing that to be nice.
And, you know, sometimes it's okay. I have friends sometimes that'll just walk in and toss something on my desk, say, hey, I bought myself one of these. I thought I'd get you one, too.
Yeah.
I'll give you a good example. The other day, a friend of mine gave me a little scoop that you use on your Blackstone grill for potatoes. It's a wide, deep thing. And, you know, he came in, you know, hey, I bought one of these. Have one of these. They had them on sale. I thought, you know, and that's great. You know, I have one of my grandsons will periodically just go buy stuff for his grandmother that she doesn't expect. And it may be something she needs. He's not doing that, so we'll pat him on the back. He's doing it because he loves his grandmother and wants to do it.
And see, and that's the litmus test of the whole thing. Is that person doing that for other people? Because if they're only doing it for one person, then it is, I believe, like me, like me, like me, like me. You know, we have Sweetest Day coming up tomorrow. Now,
it is. Thanks a lot.
I know, I tipped you off. But it's interesting because here we are in Ohio where Sweetest Day began.
Get my dog a bone.
That's right. It began in Cleveland, Ohio. And it began because the candy companies were having a lull in sales this time of year. Yep. And it wasn't a romantic holiday. It was originally called Candy Day. And it was just get candy for somebody who's less fortunate, make their day. Now, behind that
they weren't making enough on Valentine's Day?
Well, it wasn't even about that. It was homeless people. Get candy. It was to help the candy sales go up. But it was get candy for somebody who's less fortunate than you and give it to them on this day. And it was called Candy Day. Now, somewhere along the line, between the early 1900s and now, we changed it to Sweetest Day, and now it's somehow a romantic thing where you go out and you get engaged, or you go to dinner, or you buy Valentine. It's become that. And I think, now, the original purpose was very good. You don't know a homeless person. Maybe you don't know that person less fortunate to you. You're getting them a gift. Not so, though. You might never see that person again.
But now...
Now, it's marry me. Aren't we in love? Blah, blah. It's all...
Well, you just made me wonder something. I go every Friday night at the football game. I show up with two baggies full of some type of taffy candy. And I give them to the guys. And, you know, pass them out to the guys. And now you're making me wonder if they only like me for my candy.
Yeah, for the candy, exactly.
Huh.
Well, isn't it funny, though? Because I will bet you tomorrow night and on Sunday, we'll see all the social media pictures. Oh, look what my husband, look what my boyfriend, look what my... Well, yeah, he did that. It was Sweetest
Day. You
know,
my wife has never done that. She never has posted anything I've given her online whatsoever. Now, she'll say Happy Valentine's Day to my husband or something, just something like that. But those things are private. Yes.
They are, or maybe she's embarrassed I give her such cheap stuff. I don't know. But the truth is that, no, they are private. And, you know, that's, you know, there's some parts of your life, keep it home.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Because, you know, I think you're giving that person exactly what they wanted.
Yeah.
You're
giving them. Other day, I stopped and took my son a Crave case of White Castles at lunchtime. It was exactly what he wanted. His wife called later that night and kind of gave us the what for over it.
Yeah. But I can see why. Yeah. But it's interesting to me how that happens. Now, again, I'm not saying you don't get something for somebody for Sweetest Day. I'm not saying you... But you understand that when they do it, they're doing it because it's that day. They're doing it because it's a norm that tells them they have... They're not doing that just to be nice. And if that wasn't the day, they wouldn't be doing it.
Ah, there's your litmus test right there. Do they do it at other times?
Right. Did they do it last Saturday?
Yeah.
There you go.
I've learned over the years, though, that I have to be careful what I buy and when I buy it and how I buy it. My wife does not like frivolous gifts that really are off the cuff. Things that she thinks are just, why did you buy that? I'll never use it. And she doesn't mean it in a mean way. And, you know, it's kind of funny, Scott, when you get to be our age, your house has got just about all the trinkets and figurines and those kind of things and pictures that it can take. So when holidays come around, it's kind of like, hey, guys, look around here. You know, we're starting to stack stuff in the closets. Buy something, you know. It used to be, I used to think that gift cards were so impersonal. But I don't anymore, because if I get a gift card, I can do what I want with it and get something that maybe I really need or I want or go out to dinner or whatever. And even sometimes restaurant gift cards, you have to give somebody just a plain blank gift card, because I get gift cards at restaurants that we don't eat at. So then what do you have to do with them, right? You re-gift them.
That's right. That's right. Well, there's always that with any... The only issue I have with gift cards on the whole is that if somebody knows you, I think they should be able to come up with something. Mm-hmm. Because if we go back to this idea of it's the thought that counts, I've worked in retail for a long time, and the people coming in to buy these gift cards are doing it so I can walk up to the rack and be done with my Christmas shopping in 10 minutes.
You're right. Some people say, just give me $500 and $20 gift cards. That's very impersonal. I try to shop individually for our kids, and we do a good job with that, I think, and we know them individually. But, you know, there's 25 of us now. Well, now there's 26. We just had a great-granddaughter. But... There's 26 of us, so it takes some thinking now. But even at that, we still throughout the year, like for instance the other day, he's not listening, I can say this, I got a thing in the mail for a Ducks Unlimited subscription for the year. Well, I have one grandson that lives and breathes duck hunting, so there you go. And you can do things of that nature. But, you know, I do that, we do things because we do care. It's nice when... What's really nice, Scott, I know we're not about to talk, but one thing I really like is when someone does get you something that hits home, that is exactly what you wanted, it tells you that they've taken enough time to think and know you.
Well, and we have about 5 minutes left, and I want people to do this test. Now, because trips are an interesting one to me, because a lot of people will go away for the weekend this weekend, and they'll do that sort of thing, because it's, you know, the sweetest day. And... here's what I want you to do. Before the person met you, or before you got married, or before you got engaged, or whatever the case may be in your relationship, find out how many trips this person was taking. And if the answer is very few or zero, and all of a sudden they're taking you on every trip they go to, or they're taking you, you know, hey, I want to take you away for the weekend. Now, why do you think that is? Do you think that's just because they're just a nice person? Do you think that's really just because they're...
I don't know. I'm not a trip taker.
Well, I want to take you away for the weekend. Okay, well, do I really want you to enjoy the weekend? Or is... I'm coming. You know? Here we go.
Yeah, well, I don't know about that. Hey, listen, one thing I do want to plug before I get off here. At about 1 o'clock today, Craig Heilman's going to be on with his Bible study show.
Yep.
And he's going to have Amanda Grayson on. And she's going to be as a guest. And I think that ought to go pretty well. I think it's going to be a fun format, what he wants to do and doing. So I want to do want to plug that. I also want to tell everyone that, you know, at Community Christian Fellowship, we have just about everything for everyone. Not because we're trying to please everyone, but because you need it. and we know and recognize that. You know, we have a lot of stuff for kids. We're a growing church. We're at 209 East Water Street in Prospect. Our service is 10:30 on Sunday mornings. And once you show up there, you can find all the information to all the other things we do. And it really is a lot. We do it because we care about people and want to be an active part of the community. Come by and see us on Beggars Nights the 28th. We will have we always do hot dogs and hot chocolate and coffee and candy. And we'll also this year be having some representatives there. We'll be there from LifeWise Academy and showing some neat things about that, and just be a really good time out there. So, Scott, what do you got as we wrap
this?
As
we got about 3 minutes left
okay,
here, and
good,
I think
good,
I think
good.
The category here today, the topic being gratitude. I think in general, what all this is boiling down to is you know, I'm not saying everybody has negative motives, and I'm not saying that people are doing everything with expecting something in return, but I mean, I think as human beings, we should pay attention to people from our past and maybe people in the future who also have done nice things, and not just concentrate on the now.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Some of my greatest gratitude goes out to some, I would have to say, some senior citizens that aren't with us anymore that I knew growing up that impacted me a lot just by their character and who they were. And I'm going to throw a name out there, Helen and Bob Charrington. They probably never knew for one minute that they impacted me, but they impacted me greatly just with their grace and their kindness that I saw coming from them. And there were so many more. A teacher of mine, Don Canny. Don's still living. But Don really impacted me a lot because he was just generally kind, and you know, so many others. But be that person, be that kind person that is going to impact people. Look, you don't have to live to see what becomes of them. Just know that what you did had an impact. And the best legacy that we can leave behind is a legacy of character and a legacy of loving God and showing people who God is. And that's the legacy. You know, you can have as much money as you want. No one cares. That money's fought over when you're gone. And someone's going to feel slighted no matter who you leave it to. So, hey, what I'm telling you guys out there, if you got a ton of money, go out there and spend it hog wild, have a good time, because don't leave it to anyone.
And yeah, you know, that's exactly right. But never base anything on money.
Never base anything on money.
No. Because as much, it can be a Band-Aid, but it's not going to cure the disease that you're having.
People say the money is the root of all evil, but that's not what it says. It says in Scripture, love of money is the root of evil. Not the money itself, it's the love of money.
Isn't it interesting, though, with the last minute, how when money comes in, it doesn't even have to be a large amount. If some money comes into people's lives and it just lessens up their anxiety a little bit, how people love that. I mean, it's just, it becomes a panacea for them.
Well, I'll tell you, real quick, I hope we got time to do this. Real quick, a couple years ago, I most of my life, I had pretty much lived from week to week to week to week to week, and, you know, what bill will we, you know, that kind of thing. And I was praying one day, and I told God, I said, you know, Lord, I said, I would really love to, you know, it would be wonderful to not have to worry. I didn't really worry anyway, but you know what I mean. And you know, it's funny, he answered that, because I don't have a lot of money, and I'll never have a lot of money, but things have been moved and orchestrated in a way that I don't have to worry about. I know that every month the bills are going to be paid, and I don't have a lot. But there is a certain amount of stress that it takes off you when you're not always worrying about, oh no, it's not payday yet, and I only got $10 left in the bank.
You're exactly right, and we'll be back next week.
Take care.
I think he needed her after that primary election.
Yes, and I think I go back to Abraham Lincoln. When it's the, you bring your enemies.